Title: Dub Chamber Effect Chains for Mono Breaks. Advanced. All right, let's build a dub chamber system that makes a mono break feel like it's living inside a tight, nasty room without losing that center punch. This is advanced Ableton FX thinking. Your break stays ruthlessly mono and upfront, and all the depth, width, and dub movement lives on returns, like real rooms you can send into and perform. The end goal is a two-layer setup. Layer 1 is your chamber shell. It's short, dense, and basically always on, but subtle. It adds body and glue. Layer 2 is your dub throw. That's your tempo echo network with filtering and dirt. It stays mostly off, and you automate it like an instrument for moments. End of bar snares, little ghost hits, fills, transitions. And the big philosophy here is this. The dry break is not getting rescued by reverb. The dry break is already done. These returns are enhancement and performance. Step 0. Prep the mono break and make it smack before any space. Put your break on an audio track and name it something like Break Mono. First thing, confirm it's truly mono. Drop a utility on the break track and set width to 0%. This is not optional for this lesson. We're intentionally locking the dry break dead center so the contrast with the wide chamber is obvious and controllable. Now shape the transient. Add drum bus slightly. Aim for a bit of drive, like 5 to 15%. Keep boom off unless the break is thin and you really know what you're doing. And push the transient control up, maybe plus 5 up to plus 20, depending on how sharp the break already is. Then basic cleanup with EQ8, high pass somewhere around 25 to 40 Hz, depending on your sub situation. If it's boxy, do a tiny dip around 250 to 400 Hz. Tiny. We're not doing surgery, we're just making room for the rest of the tune. The test at the stage is simple. Mute your master limiter if you're using one, turn the track up to a sensible level, and ask, does the break already slap in the center? If yes, you're ready. If not, fix it now, because reverbs only make weak drums sound like weak drums in a bathroom. Now we build return A, the chamber shell. Create a return track. Call it a chamber. Think of this return like an actual physical room that your break is occasionally feeding. That means we gain stage it like a room, not like an effect. When the break hits and the chamber is active, you want the return meter peaking somewhere around minus 12 to minus 6 dBFS. If it's constantly slamming, your sends stop meaning anything and the mix gets cloudy fast. Device order on this return matters. Start with EQ8 before the reverb. This is pre-reverb shaping, and it's one of the reasons your mix stays clean. On EQ8, high pass aggressively. 200 to 350 Hz is totally normal in drum and bass for reverb returns. If your cymbals get splashy in the room, put a gentle low pass around 8 to 12k. And if the reverb makes the snare bark in an ugly way, notch a little around 2 to 4k. Next, hybrid reverb. You're going for a chamber feel. Tight but deep. Decay around 0.4 to 1.0 seconds. Deadened beat is fast, so long tails blur the groove. Pre-delay is your punch protector, so set it around 10 to 25 milliseconds. And here's a coach trick. Think of pre-delay as micro-timing, not just a number. Try two different feels. A tighter glue chamber might be 6 to 12 milliseconds. A bigger shell chamber might be 18 to 30 milliseconds. You can literally automate that across sections to change the perceived drum size without touching the dry break at all. Set diffusion fairly high, like 50 to 80%, to get dense walls. Bring up early reflections moderately, because early reflections are what make it sound like a chamber and not just a cloud. Keep the return at 100% wet. Always, returns are wet. After the reverb, add saturator. This is where the room stops sounding like a separate clean plugin and starts sounding like it belongs with gritty breaks. Use analog clip or soft sign. Drive around 2 to 6 dB. Soft clip on. You're not trying to make it louder. You're trying to make it thicker and closer. Then add utility for stereo control. This is the classic move. Dry break stays mono, space gets wide. Try width around 130 to 170%, but be careful. Width is seductive. If you push it and your snare starts sounding hollow and mono, you went too far. One more advanced trick here. Don't widen the whole return evenly. Widen only the highs. If you have EQ8 in M/S mode, roll off the side channel below about 700 to 1.2 kHz. That way, low mid stay centered and stable, and you can spread the top without wrecking mono compatibility. Finally, add a compressor for optional sidechain ducking. This is how you keep the groove clean. Sidechain it from the break track, or better, from a kick and snare bus. Set ratio around 2 to 1 up to 4 to 1. Attack 2 to 10 milliseconds. Release 60 to 150. Then pull the threshold down until you hear the room bow out of the way, when the hits land, and swell back in between hits. And here's another advanced coaching detail. If your sidechain source includes lots of hat wash, the room will pump constantly in an annoying way. A pro move is making a dedicated SCKY track. Duplicate the break. EQ it so it's mostly transient information, like high pass around 120 and a boost in the 2 to 5K area, then gate it so only the main hits trigger. Use that as the compressor key. Now the room docks with hits, not with noise. Send level for the chamber shell. Start subtle, like minus 18 to minus 10 dB. This return is meant to be felt more than heard. Now return B, the dub throw. Create another return. Call it B dub throw. This is your performance engine. Tempo synced repeats, filter sweeps, saturation, and safety controls so it doesn't go nuclear when you get excited. Start with echo. Sync on. Time. Try 1/8 for tight rhythmic energy, or 3/16 for that rolling offset that feels really jungle engineer. 1/4 can be sick for halftime drama, but it's bigger and easier to clutter the groove. Feedback. Start around 25-55%. You can go higher, but only if you have safety and you automate responsibly. Dry wet at 100% because it's a return. Add a little modulation. Amount 5-15%. Rates low, like 0.10-0.30 Hz. You want movement, not seasickness. Noise basically off unless you want crossed. Use echoes filter too. High pass around 250-500. Low pass around 4-8K. That band limited throw is one of the most dark roller tricks in existence. It keeps the throw exciting but never steps on the sub or the crisp top. After echo, add auto filter for performance sweeps. Set it to LP24 for classic dub low pass sweeps, or BP12 if you want that telephone peaky movement. Keep the envelope off and automate the cutoff, or map it to a macro if you're racking it. Then add saturation or overdrive. Saturate or drive maybe 3-10 dB with soft clip, or overdrive with the focus frequency around 1-2K, and drive 10-25%. This is what makes the repeats talk back. Optional but very effective. A tiny hybrid reverb after the echo. Not a big wash, just a micro space so the repeats smear into a room. Decay around 0.2-0.6 seconds. Pre-delay 0-10 milliseconds, wet 100%. If it starts sounding like echo plus reverb, you've gone too far. You want echo inside a chamber. Then utility for width discipline. Try 120-160. If you start hearing phase weirdness, pull it back. Sometimes darker, tighter rollers actually work better with the throw closer to mono, like 80-110% width. Don't assume wider is always better. Add a limiter at the end as hard safety. But let's level up the safety concept. Don't rely only on a limiter. Put a compressor before the limiter with a fast attack, and a moderate ratio to act as a soft limit. That keeps the limiter from doing all the work, which means fewer ugly spikes and less crunchy distortion when feedback climbs. Also, put a utility after echo and map its gain to a kill macro, because sometimes you need instant silence. Send guidance for dub throw. This should be mostly off. You automate it. If it's on constantly, it stops being special and your groove becomes a wet mess. Now make it performable. Build racks and macros. You can wrap each return chain into an audio effect rack. On the dub throw, the macros that matter most are a throw level, echo feedback with a capped range, filter cutoff, dirt amount, maybe reverb decay if you're using that micro space, width, a kill lows control if you're eking the return, and a panic macro. And yes, I want you to actually build a panic macro. Map it so echo feedback drops to zero and return gain drops fast. Dub chains can get feral, especially when you start automating feedback. Having a panic control means you perform more confidently, and that's how you get better throws. Now, arrangement techniques so this feels like drum and bass, not generic effects. First, rolling two-step depth. Keep the chamber shell sent steady and subtle. Then automate dub throw only on specific moments, the snare at the end of 4 or 8 bars, a single ghost note in a fill, maybe the last hat before a drop. The idea is vocabulary. Throws are events. Second, jungle chop excitement. Print and reach up. Create a new audio track called Print Dub. Set its input to resampling, or directly from the return output. Record a pass while you perform feedback and filter. Then chop that printed audio like a break. Reverse bits, tighten them, layer them under the dry break. This is how you get that authentic engineer performance energy baked into audio, and it's a huge part of why classic jungle edits feel alive. Third, the drop switch trick. Collapse the space right before a drop. Automate the chamber shell send down almost to zero for 1 or 2 beats. The drop hits drier and more aggressive. Then reintroduce the chamber slowly over 8 to 16 bars so the room returns as the groove settles. A couple common mistakes to avoid while you're doing all this. Number 1. Too much low end in the reverb or echo. Your kick and sub will smear instantly. High pass your returns aggressively. 200 to 500 Hz is normal, not extreme. Number 2. Long decay times on fast breaks. At 170 to 175 BPM, long tails blur timing. If you want length, get it from repeated throws, not from a giant reverb tail. Number 3. Leaving throws on constantly. If everything throws, nothing does. Make throws rare enough to feel like punctuation. Number 4. No space management. If your break loses punch, either duck the returns, increase pre-delay slightly, shorten decay, or just reduce send. Don't accept a weak center. Number 5. Overwidening. Always check mono. If the snare disappears or turns hollow, pull width back, or keep low mid-centered using M/SAQ on the return. Now a few spicy pro options if you want to push it darker and more controlled. You can gate the chamber for that classic tight room. Put a gate after the reverb on the chamber return. Either tune the threshold so it closes between hits, or sidechain it from the break so it opens only when hits occur. You can also do transient controlled reverb density by placing a gate before the reverb on the return, sidechained from the break. That means only the hits feed the reverb, so the room doesn't fill up with little scraps between hits. You can build a dual echo network for call and response. Put two echoes in parallel in a rack, one at 1/8, the other at 3/16 or dotted 1/8. Crossfade between them with a macro. Now your throw can change character without changing send automation, which is very performance friendly. And one more arrangement trick that works ridiculously well, the dry bar. This audio version is shortened for playback.